Well, good morning, church. You having a good morning this morning? Come on, so good to be with you. If I haven't introduced myself, my name is Rick Paladin, lead pastor at Bridge City Church, and it's so good to be with you here in Murraysville today. I believe God has something specific. I believe God has an assignment for you and your life. How many of y'all believe that? I believe he does, and you're in the right place with the right people at the right time. And how exciting it is. We're kicking off a brand new series, The Master's Plan. This is going to be the next several weeks. We're looking at the life of Jesus and his plan, literally, to spread the gospel all over the planet. We're going to look at Jesus's life, and we're going to look at how he did it and what we can learn from there. You know, when I finished high school, everybody tells you when you finish high school, you know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And how many of y'all know, how many of y'all remember that moment? Like, you want to believe it, but you're not quite sure. And so I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do. And so I went to community college, and I was kind of like just searching, what do I want to do? Yeah, God has a plan, God has a purpose. And then I went and enrolled in nursing school, Mercy Hospital School of Nursing, and it applied to a lot of different programs. And I learned something very quickly. I didn't have the grades to get in. I applied way too late to get in. I didn't have the money to get in. But somehow, because I just kept showing, I just showed up, they accepted me. Now, and so they said, yeah, you can get into the program. There was no way in the natural I should be allowed to get in. But I got in. And I got in, and what I learned in the first week of school, what they did was they literally get you in the hospital doing work in the hospital. Like, on-the-job training started right away. I mean, the first week they get you there, they get you doing it. And then progressively you do more and more, and it increases as you go along. And then, believe it or not, I graduated. That was a miracle. That was a miracle, yeah. Like, if you only knew the miracle it was, come on. And then I got a job, and then when I got a job, they actually, even though I graduated, they still gave me, it's a preceptor, I had to follow somebody and learn even more on the job until I was able to do it on my own. And there was a process by which I went, but the first day of school, they had one goal in mind, not to get me to graduate. Their goal was that I could care for people and not hurt them. How many of you know that's a good goal? That's a very good goal. And so their objective was to get me into a program and learn so that I wouldn't just have a lot of knowledge and head knowledge, but that I could actually put it into practice in a safe environment, in a safety that I could help other people. And that even after I graduated, I still had somebody to help me until I got to the point that I was able to help others also. See, this is one of the things I really, really loved about the school that I chose, is that if, on the job training, and there was one purpose in mind, that you're going to actually use what you're learning, unlike what happens at most universities. Just a thought, okay? You learn all this stuff, it has nothing to do with there. See, when I'm bringing this up, because this is Jesus's plan. Jesus has a goal for us. He has a goal for your life. That the moment that you go from death to life, that you meet Jesus in a very real and personal way, he has a plan for you, not just to get a bunch of knowledge and information, but so that we would be equipped and trained to care for others. That is the Master's plan. And Jesus had a plan. God had a plan. And that's what we're going to be looking at through this series here. Jesus' life was ordered by his objective. His concern was not with programs to reach the multitudes, but with men whom the multitudes would follow. This was his plan. He had an objective. He had a plan. If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament, you're going to understand Jesus didn't just get together to hang out. No, I'm being for real. Like he wasn't just hanging out. There was a purpose. There was a plan. There was something that he was going for. And his whole life was ordered by that objective. And all of our lives are ordered by the objective of and our goals of our life. They're ordered that way. And that's what we want to see here. So we're going to start this, we're going to launch this here in the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. This is at the end of Jesus' ministry. He's about to ascend into heaven. And how many of y'all know that your last words are important ones? If for any of you that have kids and you left them at home alone, you know your last words are very important. Am I right? Yeah, your last words, right? Stay in the house. You're not allowed to use the oven, right? I mean, there's specific things you tell them, right? Okay, so Jesus' last words here were really, really important. So this is referred to as the Great Commission. Now, what is this Great Commission? It was, and many people confuse this with the Great Commandment. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's not it. This is the commission. Now, this is we're going to do something with Jesus. He's going to do something with us, and we have a mission. There's a commission. I'm going to do my part. God's going to do his part, and together we're going to do great things. Not always quite spectacular, but it's going to be great. No, it's going to be great. It is. It's going to be great, but sometimes it gets mundane. If you look at the Gospels, it was like that. Yeah, it was. So the Great Commission. Now, you'll be surprised. 51% of churchgoers don't know what the Great Commission is. And this is a pretty important thing for our lives. This is a really, really big deal. I mean, this is what Jesus said for us to do here. And this is what we're doing here. So here it is. And I'm going to pick it up actually in verse 16. In verse 16, Jesus was he was at a place here. And how did they get to this place? In Matthew 28, in verse 16, it states that the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Now let me break this down and keep it really simple. If we want to be used by God, we have to be willing to go where he tells us to go. Now, if we want to receive training, we want to receive empowerment, we have to be willing to go and obey and be under submission and under authority to God. Jesus wants to give his Great Commission to people under authority. So are we willing to just simply go? Jesus said, I'll meet you in Galilee on this mountain. Mark Mountain. I'm going to come back to this in just a little bit. But he says, we got to be willing to be under authority and just simply obey. Will we go where he asked us to go? Now, I can imagine some of the disciples going, why Galilee? Whose idea was that? Why do we have to go there? What's so big about Galilee? What's so big about Murraysville, Bridge City Church, beside Beer Warehouse? What's so big about that? Come on, but you got to go. Because if you don't go, you'll never know, right? And so here we've heard, just be willing to do it. And so in verse 18, Jesus read letters. He tells his disciples, I have been given all authority. How much authority? Yeah, all of it in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So I want to tell you right now, there is a significant plan and purpose at Bridge City Church. It's to get you, if you're new here, it's to get you to obey all the words and commands of Jesus. That's the plan. As a matter of fact, the person who really had a very big impact on my life, our founding pastor of this church, he always says, he still says it today, Pastor Keith Tusi, always says, never trust anybody without a plan. Like, what's the plan? What's the purpose? This is the plan. This is the purpose. Jesus had one. And so his whole life was led up to right here where he's giving something to his disciples here. So in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, there's some key words in here. Now I want you to look at this. Make disciples is the only verb. The other three things are participles that how we do the verb. Make disciples by going and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everywhere we go, converting people to Christianity. That is the goal. Baptizing them, that means confirm their identity in Jesus Christ. And we're actually going to have baptisms coming up in a few weeks. We're going to have baptisms right here. At the end of September and at the end of December, we're going to be doing baptisms. Why? Because everybody knew we want you to get baptized and identify with Jesus Christ. So baptizing them confirmed their identity and teach them to obey God's word and commands. So make disciples is what Jesus was saying. How do we do that? By people getting converted to Christ, identifying with him and obeying him. This is the Great Commission. This is what God has given us to do here. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. It's a student, a pupil. But it's also a doer. They follow the teacher and the teaching. They turn thoughts into actions, and they live in complete obedience. Notice I didn't say perfect obedience, but complete obedience. There's a difference there. You know, we fall short sometimes, but we walk in complete obedience, not perfect obedience. I want you to catch that because sometimes we rule ourselves out and say, well, nobody can be completely obedient. Yes, we can. You can be completely obedient. It doesn't mean we don't fall short a little bit. Doesn't mean we don't get mixed up along the way. But we can walk in complete obedience. You can. We can listen to his commands and do them. And they're actually fun. It's a joy to do this. That's what this is here. And so this is what a disciple is. Now, looking at this definition, I just want to make a comment. In our culture, in our society right now, you hear a term used a lot. It's called mentoring. I have a mentor. I'm being mentored by somebody. And I'm not against that term. I just think we should identify really what it means. Really where that comes from, it's a 3,000-year-old term that comes from Greek mythology. It was a poem that it was in, and there was a wise sage, a counselor named Mentor in the poem. And so this is where it comes from. There's mentoring that takes place. Now, I think mentoring can be a good thing, but it's different than discipleship. Mentoring is when if I'm going to go to somebody and say, would you mentor me? I decide what I'm going to get from them. I'm coming to you. You help me in marriage or finances or maybe your business or whatever that may be. That's not a bad thing. They admonish you. They help you, right? Discipleship, however, is a little different. Discipleship, the discipler gets to decide the direction. You as a disciple are receiving, we're going to, getting from, but they decide what to pull out of you and how to lead you the best way possible. Mentorship, I get to decide what you do. Discipleship is you're going to pull out of me and you're going to lead me. There's a little bit of a difference here. There really, really is. And what Jesus said here, he used the word discipleship. And so again, if you have a mentor and you're going there and they're helping you, they're giving you wise advice and they're admonishing you, keep doing that. I'm not saying not to do that. I'm just saying for the sake of the biblical study, and we are in church, so I'm going to give you the definition accordingly here. He said, make disciples here. So this is what Jesus said to do here. Now, let me just give you something really quick. Now, because we get confused on this, biblically, Jesus loved everybody. He loves everybody. And we should never make enemies of anybody that Jesus died for. He loves everybody. He feeds the multitudes. He fed the multitudes. He trained the 70. He discipled the 12. And he had an inner circle of 3, which really was with him all the time. See, what I'm trying to say is this. Sometimes we get convoluted in the plan because we try to lump all this together rather than seeing what Jesus did. He loves everybody, right? God so loved the world. Yeah, but he fed the multitude. That means everybody that showed up got fish and chips. They got the fish fry. But he trained 70. 70. Is that he discipled 12 and he trained them too, very similar in their training, very, very similar actually. And then there was the inner circle of 3. Just some thoughts here. So I say all that to say, here's the big idea. Here's a big idea for you. And is that Jesus' master plan to reach the world required people who were appointed. They were to accompany him and they were to walk in his authority. So Jesus had a master plan, and it was an appointment. It was to accompany him so that we could walk in his authority. This is the plan of Jesus. How many of y'all know Jesus still has a plan? How many of y'all know beyond that first week in November in elections, Jesus still has a plan? How many of y'all know beyond whatever happens in November, Jesus still has a plan? I believe in who has a plan. His name is Jesus. Okay? I have my hope set in him. I have my hope set on the church because the church is Jesus' way that he's going to reach the world through men and women who can reach their world for Christ. How many of y'all really, really believe that? No, I mean really believe that. Okay. How many want to, but you're not really sure? Come on, like, yeah. Like, no, I'm being honest. Like, but there's a plan he has. And Jesus' plan is to use people just like you and me here. And there's a method. There's something that he's doing here. So that was Matthew 28. Now let's go back to the beginning where Jesus started in Mark 3, calling his disciples here. And verse 13 in Mark, Jesus went up on a what? Went up on a mountain and called out the ones he wanted to go with him. And they came to him. Verse 14, then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him and he would send them out to preach, giving them. Yeah. Okay, so let's look at these words now. Very, very significant words. This first word, Jesus here, he says, okay, he wanted to make something of them. He wanted to manufacture. There was a construction that was taking place of their lives. How many of y'all know that Jesus is manufacturing something good out of our lives? No, he still is. Yeah. And he wanted to accompany. That means to be with. Now, I like this this Greek word in the text is this. It means that there's straightforward relationships with no limits. See, many times we get in relationships and we want to grow in Christ. How many of y'all want to grow in faith? But we put limits on our relationships. The ones Jesus had here, they were straightforward without limits. We predetermine. He says, I'm not going to predetermine. I'm going to release you. I want to have straightforward, honest conversations here without limits. And there's an authority, a delegated empowerment that he wants to give us. Could it be that we do not have the authority of Christ in our lives to the degree that we believe that Jesus wants us to? Because we don't have, we're not being manufactured into something, and we don't have straightforward relationships without limits. Could it be? I'm proposing a question to you. Could there be a correlation in these two things? How many of you would like to see Jesus Christ honored and glorified in our city, in our region, in such a way that only Jesus could get credit for it. How many of you would like to see heaven get so big and hell get so small? How many of you now believe that he can use you to do it? By being manufactured into something, by accompanying him, but accompanying others straightforward without limits. Are you with me? But isn't it interesting, when Jesus did something here, he started on a mountain. Jesus went up on a mountain, and in Matthew 28, he told them to meet him on a mountain. There's a vantage point. There's a place that God has, and we're never going to be able to grow unless we're, there's a terminology in now, is that you got to be in the room. If you're not in the room, you're not going to experience what happens in the room, right? Well, how about this? You got to be on the right mountain. If you're not on the mountain, you're going to miss it. No, you got to be where Jesus asked you to be. You got to be present. You can't get this on YouTube. You can't get straightforward relationships without limits on YouTube. You can't get it on Facebook. Thank you. I mean that with all my heart. Come on, right? See, you got to be on the right mountain. You got to be there where he asked us to be. He wants to change our vantage point, our ability to see, our ability to see what he sees. But we have to go where he is to see what he sees, so that we can do what he did. God's changing our vantage point, church. We are in a season right now where God's changing us. God's tweaking our eyesight. He's taking us to a place spiritually that some of us have never been before. And God is growing our faith. God's taking us to a place of faith right now. And faith is not trusting in you to be a better you. It's trusting in God to take you into a place where he can transform us, not inform us, but transform us into what he wants us to be. And it's a spiritual being. I'm telling you, I got that song in my heart. I went from death to life. I'm serious. I've gone from death to life, and I am really, really excited about it. Notice Jesus delegated authority. He didn't delegate responsibility, more jobs and duties and obligations. Whenever we start to feel like our relationship with God and going to church and serving others and getting to a group becomes an obligation or a duty or something we have to do or God's going to get mad, maybe we need to go back to the original intent and say that Jesus has created us for good relationships. He's created us for something good. And we need to go back to accompany him and accompany one another. We need to go back to being made into something good and holy and pure and great for him. And go find the joy again. Because we all, it's easy to do. We fall into obligation, right? I got to go. Got to be there. Got to do this. Got to do that. It's just a duty. What else does God want from me? No, it's a joy. It's fun. Come on. Are you starting to see his plan? Now, there is a book. It's had a significant impact on my life. It's called The Master Plan of Evangelism. And it's really more about being a follower of Jesus than evangelism. We're teaching this book for the next, actually, that's 4 weeks. It's a 4-week series. I'm teaching you chapters 1 and 2 today. It's a $10 book. You can purchase it today. I want you to get this book. I'm telling you, this book has had a great, great impact on my life. Because in what you're going to see in this book that's available, you can buy it today, is that you're going to be driven to the Bible and you're going to be driven to the life of Jesus like you never have been before. If you'll just read it and look up the verses and see Jesus' life, you are going to be drawn into his life. How many of y'all would like to be drawn into Jesus' life a deeper way? Come on, me too. I'm rereading it. I've just been rereading it over and over and over. And these chapters that I'm sharing with you today, over and over and over again. because this is the master's plan. He wants to delegate something to us. He has a plan and a purpose. So I'm going to actually go into the first two chapters here. And if you didn't read them before today, you can get this book today. Read it. You're going to like it. How many of y'all know that Pastor Rick's pretty excited about this book? Okay, how many of you are intrigued just because he's so excited? Come on. I don't know. I just think there's something that might be to this, you know? Okay? And they're going to get you one of these in the back there. So here we go. Chapter 1 here, appointed, selection. It's really entitled Selection. And let's look at some of the men and actually women who followed Jesus. Let's look at their lives. The men Jesus chose were impulsive, temperamental, easily offended. Oh, no, I like to have fun with this. Every time we say one of these and it defines you, I want you to raise your hand. Okay. How many of us are... Okay, so every time I say one, I want you to raise your hand. How many of y'all are impulsive? Okay. Temperamental. How many of you're going to need shoulder surgery before you're done with this? Come on, somebody. Yeah. Okay. Easily offended. All the prejudices of your environment. Awkward. That was a good one. Yeah. Limited abilities. Slow to comprehend spiritual things. Ignorant and unlearned. This is the only place you can call somebody ignorant and unlearned, and they just laugh. That's me. Come on, this is the best thing in the world. but they were teachable. Yeah, they had big hearts and were willing to confess their need. That's this book, and that's the Bible. It was filled with people just like this. This is our lives. Pastor Eric and Rachel, she's unable to be here today. I just want to say, they're doing a great job because you know why? They're teachable. They're under authority. They know the authority of God. They have an appointment. They're a company. He's doing a great job here in Murrysville campus. That's what he's doing. And we were laughing this week when we were reading this together. And before Christ, he goes, well, this just defines my life before Christ. From the looks of it, this defines most of their lives after Christ. Come on, somebody. Yeah, come on. We're still learning it, right? But he's teachable. He's listening to God. He's learning. I can follow somebody like that. A big heart, willing to obey, willing to go beyond convenience. Come on. Now, if Jesus were to hire a consulting firm, if Jesus were going to hire a consulting firm, and he said, I got these 12 guys. I want you to look them over. Tell me which ones I really should use. It was a part of my top 12 disciples. How many of you know that would be a smart idea, right? And he said, I want you to look. And so I want to read you a memo from the Jerusalem Management Consulting Firm. The Jerusalem Management Consulting Firm, they're going to look at the 12 guys Jesus had, okay? And so here we go. Dear sir, this is their report. Thank you for submitting the resumes of the 12 men you have picked for management positions in your new organization. All of them have taken a series of tests, and we have not only run the tests through our computer, but we have also conducted an in-depth interview with each of them by our staff, psychologists, and vocational aptitude consultant. The profiles of all the tests are included, and you will want to study each of them carefully. It is the staff's opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept, and we would highly recommend that you continue your search for persons with other experience, higher qualifications, and greater managerial abilities. Now they go on. Now we're going to look at the ones that they gave a little report for on each person. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and is given to fits of temper. Andrew simply has no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, place personal interest above the company loyalty and are quite boisterous. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would tend to undermine morale among the ranks. It is also our duty to inform you that the Better Business Bureau of Greater Jerusalem has received reports on Matthew, the tax collector, regarding questionable business practices. James, the son of Alphaeus and Theudas, definitely have radical leanings and are both demonstrate attitude problems which would present difficulty in their dealings with the public. However, one of the candidates shows great potential. He is a man of ability and resourcefulness, meets people well and has a keen business mind, and has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, reasonable, is not afraid to take the initiative. We recommend Judas Iscariot as the most qualified of all your prospective candidates. Sincerely, the Jerusalem Management Consulting Firm. This tells us that when we depend on man's look, we're going to miss what God's doing. If you don't know, Judas is the one that betrayed Jesus. He was also, history tells us this, that he was the most educated of the bunch. He was the one who received further education. The other people didn't receive a fancy education. What I'm trying to tell you, if we look with our natural eyes and we don't go to the mountain he wants us to go to and see the way he sees, we're going to miss what God's doing. We're going to miss it. And I don't want you to miss it here. Jesus had a plan. Yes, he did. And the plan is that we're going to work together. He selects us. He makes something out of our lives. And there's a lot of on-the-job training that we go through. We start to sound like the ones that we're being discipled by and trained by. People used to tell me a lot more, Pastor Keith, our founding pastor. Some of you have heard him speak before. People say, well, Pastor Rick, you sound just like Pastor Keith. I don't take that as a cut. I take that as a compliment. Why wouldn't I want to be trained? Why wouldn't I want to be equipped? Now, I've developed my own voice over time. I developed my own, you know, style over time. That happens. I was at Pastor Eric's house recently, and there was some other people there. And Neil, one of our ushers here, and his wife, Rhiannon, they were at the house there. And Pastor Eric said something, and Neil's wife, Rhiannon, turned around and looked at Neil and said, "You say that all the time." And Neil looked right at her and said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Did you get it from Pastor Eric?" He said, "Yeah." He didn't say, "Oh no, I thought of that all on myself. I just thought of myself." No, he's picking up good things for family and kids, and he's repeating them. How many of you don't know that's a good thing? That's not a bad thing. But in our minds, everybody has to be their own person in our mind, and we got to come up with our own thing. You know, to be honest, I'm not coming up with anything new today. As a matter of fact, I'm reading to you out of a book that's 2,000 years old. I'm just highlighting what's there. But we have this attraction for the new, the deep. We have this attraction for information rather than revelation. And we live in a day and age where he who has the most information wins rather than who has the most transformation that results from a revelation of the Word of God. And I'm going to put this into practice. The reason I'm highlighting Pastor Eric, who's a disciple, and now he's passing his life on to others. One of the people up here leading a group now is going to pass their life on to you. You see how it works? This is the master's plan. That we're going to be manufactured into something. And we're not going to hide it. It's not like some secret society. It's been in there. We're just simply doing what he said to do here. See, knowledge was gained by association before it was gained by explanation. Many things are caught before they're taught. We catch them as we live. We catch it. Oh, that. We catch it. But you got to be in the room or on the mountain, I should say, to catch it. You can't catch stuff that you're not there. Right? You can. But when you catch it, it's like, wait a minute. There's a plan to God's God's work in my life. There's an objective that now we all get to be a part of passing our lives on to others. God can use people just like us. No, I want you to catch that. He can use all of us. That's why Jesus, when somebody got converted, and there's several examples in the Bible, he'd stay an extra day. There's Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus and the woman at the well. As soon as they got converted, he'd stay with them and spend a little bit of time. He'd spend a little bit of time with them. Then they would get connected to somebody else. Why? Because this is the way it grows. This is the way it multiplies. This is the master's plan here. Now, how many of you have kids? How many of y'all know that the goal wasn't to have a newborn? The goal was get them to grow and mature and eventually move out. That's the goal. It really is. I mean, but see, the goal isn't to get a newborn and keep them a newborn all the time. Although you think they're expensive there, wait till they grow a little bit. The goal is to get them to mature, to put into practice, to grow, to care for others. That's what the appointment is. That's what being manufactured into something is. That's what becoming more like Jesus is. 2 Timothy 2:2. This is a foundation scripture of our church. What you've heard from me, in the presence of many, pass these on to faithful and able people who are able to pass them on to others, to pass them on to others, to pass them on to others. That's the master's plan. Identify with him. Learn what his word says. And let's do this together. If we begin like Jesus, it will be slow, tedious, painful, and unnoticed by people. But at the end, the results are glorious. Chapter 2, accompany him. Accompany him. I wonder how many of the disciples knew what they were getting into when they responded to that first call. Do you think they knew they were all going to end up martyred? Hey, come to Jesus. There's a couple different ways we can do this. But eventually you're going to be martyred. No, I'm serious. They were martyred for their faith. It was inconvenient. I mean, it was as if Jesus took them to Guatemala or something. To the uttermost parts of the world. Going up mountains and hiking into the middle of who knows what. It's inconvenient at times. But they did it. And in Acts chapter 4, we see the scripture here. And this is after Jesus ascended to heaven. It's the acts of the Holy Spirit. It's the acts of what they continued to do. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. I love this translation. Uneducated, common men. But they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. What this simply, let me just break it down. They didn't go to Pharisee school. They weren't educated by the best of the best in religion school. That's what this means. They learned on-the-job training. They learned as they went. Oh, they knew the Word of God. They learned the Word of God. Don't make a mistake about that. But they learned as they went. And they were common people. These are the kind of people that God uses. That he wants to use. This was his plan here. They got made into something here. They were there. They were on the mountain. And they became mature. But you know what I want to do? I want to define maturity for you. Because if we don't have a good definition of maturity, we'll make our own up. How many of y'all are really, really good at making up definitions? If you don't know. Right? I mean, I'm not sure, but I'll just make it up. No, see, maturity isn't sitting in church the longest. See, have you ever known somebody, they got older, but they never matured? The same thing happens in church. We could be in church for so long that we just get older, but we don't mature. We don't put into practice what he gives us to do. Maturity is being able to not only take responsibility for yourself, but take responsibility for others. That's maturity, to be able to take what I've received and give it to others, to be able to explain it to others. Does that mean you have to be a Bible scholar? No, thank you, Lord Jesus. But it means that we can know the Word of God and help others experience it. That's maturity. That's what Jesus was trying to get them to do, is mature here. That's what he was going to do and he wanted to do here. He was going to make them into something. Not by information alone, but by revelation. That's what the goal is, to get us to put into practice. And that's why today we're kicking off connection groups here. We're kicking off small groups. Now, in Mark chapter 3, did you notice that the first thing Jesus did was he got himself a small group? How many of y'all want to be like Jesus? I'm striving to be. If Jesus needed a group, how about you need a group? So what's a small group? We twice a year we read this to you because I want you to catch it. It's a group of friends. Nobody has time for another meeting, but we all have time for more meaning in our life. It's a group of friends that get together and they read the Bible. And they pray. They learn the Bible. They're trying to understanding what the Bible is. And they pray. And they help one another take their next step in their relationship with God. There's always a next step. This has the appointment, a company, and there's a delegated authority that comes from it. Because we here at Bridge City Church still believe in the delegated authority of Jesus Christ. And the power of God is still evident. So I want to take the next couple minutes here. I want to do everything I can to get you to join one of these groups. Is it going to solve all your problems? No. As a matter of fact, it probably is going to create a few more. I'm being honest with you. It's going to create, now you got a commitment for the next how many weeks? You're going to maybe have an assignment. You're going to have to come prepared to group. You're going to need to do something with group. You got to come and you got to be there. You open your Bible. You got to be willing to at least give it a shot to pray for somebody. Let somebody pray for you. You got to help one another. But it's relationships that matter. What if we all jumped into a group and just said, okay, I'm going to take the limits off. I'm not going to predetermine what I can do, what I'm going to handle. I'm just going to go for it. I want you to get into a group. It was what Jesus did. We're not a church that just has a program with groups. We're a church made up of groups. If you come to Pastor Eric, if you come to me, and you come and say, hey, I have a problem I need to discuss, the first thing we're going to say is, did you discuss this with your group? If you say yes, and they sent me to you, let's go. But the first thing I want you to do is go to the people who love you, who are with you, who are committed to you, who you're walking with. They're the ones that love you. They're committed to you day by day. They're the ones helping your Monday through Saturday get better. So I'm going to send you there. This is how much I believe in this. And I want you to have these types of relationships. Ones that change and transform. Ones that will bring us, make us into something. How do you get into a group? You got to be teachable. Just be teachable. So I'm going to take a risk. There's a risk involved. How many of you are glad that God took a risk on you? He sent his son from heaven for you. He took a risk on you. How many of you are really glad about that risk? I am. anything I said to you today just sparked in you, would you know that your faith is growing. It's not perfect, but it's growing. And you would like to just take your next step with God in faith. I don't even know what that next step is. Your group's going to know. Would you just stand to your feet just for a moment? I'm going to pray for you. All you're agreeing to is there's a next step in my faith with God I want to take. That's just a next step. I didn't say join a group. I just said a next step with your faith in God. That's all. Just my faith in God needs to grow. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person standing right now. I pray, Lord God, you are going to help us. Oh, man, the courage, the confidence to take our next step with you. Lord God, let it be so, God. Let it be so. God, help all of us who are standing right now. Just take a step of faith. Take a step in our relationship with you, Lord God. Not for our good, but for your good, God. Not for everybody look at me, but everybody look at Jesus. So that the delegated authority of Jesus Christ would be available to everybody, Father. God, we thank you for that. And just in this moment, just stay right where you are. If there's anybody here today, you would like to be converted to Christ, to Christianity, that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, and you would like Jesus, because of what he did on the cross, become not just something that he did for everybody else, but did for you personally. And Jesus, I want you to be my personal forgiver, my personal Savior. And Jesus, I want you to be my personal leader, the Lord of my life. I want to be converted to this belief in Jesus Christ. And I want today to be my day where I become that newborn with you, Jesus. If that's you right here, you came to the right place. This is why God put us here. This isn't your last step. This is your first step. And if that's you right now, just simply raise your hand right where you are right now. Just simply, if that's you, anybody here just says, you know, I want today to be my day. I want today to be my day. Anybody at all? Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, God, thank you, God. Lord Jesus. Lord God, I pray, Father, that next week, Lord God, there's going to be a lot of people that receive you as a result of the next chapters in this book. Lord God, let Bridge City Church Murraysville be a place where people can go from death to life, Lord. And meet you in a very real way. Take our lives and do what you will, Lord God. God, I thank you so much for being so awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm so grateful for you today. Thanks for being so awesome. You can be seated. Pastor Eric's going to wrap us up today. Thanks so much.